Chapter 24. Intervals. My idea is that there's music in the air, music all around us. The world is full of it, and you simply take as much as you require. Sir Edward Elgar. Intervals by the number. An interval is the distance between two pitches. There are two basic types of intervals, harmonic and melodic. A harmonic interval is when two notes sound simultaneously. A melodic interval is when two notes are sounded one after the other, and you can see examples of these in Example 1 on this book's website. There are two components to each kind of interval, its number and its quality. We'll cover each in turn, numbers first. An interval's number is usually from 1 to 13. It is possible to have a number greater than 13, but it's so rare that we'll forget about it. When measuring the interval between two notes, both harmonic and melodic, do it from the lower note to the higher. You'll learn the reason for this in a minute. A simple way to find an interval's number. To find the number of any interval, simply count every line in space from the lower note to the higher note. Be sure to count the line or space of the bottom note as 1. This is the most common mistake beginners make when figuring out an interval. If you don't count the bottom note as 1, you'll end up with the wrong interval. To the right, and example 2 on the website, is the melodic interval of a sixth. Notice how the count starts with the lower note, even though it might come after the higher one. Though the count is the same whether you count from the upper or the lower note, intervals are usually measured from the lower note. The reason for measuring this way is on the next page. In example 2, you can see a sixth. Counting the harmonic interval is the same process. You're just counting vertically up from the lower note. And you can see this in example 3, which shows a harmonic interval of a third and a seventh. Interval quality. In addition to having a number, each interval will also have a quality that describes how the interval sounds. These qualities are named perfect, major, minor, diminished, or augmented. We'll start with perfect and major intervals because those are the intervals from which we'll derive the others. In order to understand these qualities, we've got to take a look at the major scale again. We'll use the key of C major because it's the least complicated, but these principles can and should be applied to all key signatures. Perfect intervals. The symbol for a perfect interval is P. The perfect intervals are unison, that means the same note, also called prime, perfect fourths, perfect fifths, and perfect octaves, or eighths. No one ever calls them eighths, they're octaves. In example 4, you'll see a short table with the abbreviation for the interval and what it means. When talking about these intervals, you rarely hear anyone say perfect. Usually, you just say the number, as in, that's a fourth, and it's assumed to be perfect. If it's altered in some way, you will convey that information, but otherwise, you just say a fifth or fourth or an octave. Go ahead and find all of the perfect intervals in the C major scale that you can find in example 6 on this book's website. They're called perfect intervals because the tones blend so well together. In the case of the prime and the octaves, they blend so well it's difficult to tell there are even two notes being played. The ratio of their frequencies are simple whole numbers. We won't delve into the physics of sound here, but the qualities of these intervals were first observed and praised in China and subsequently explored and documented in the West by Pythagoras. For more information on this subject, and for a great way to begin to practice connecting what you hear to written music, there's a book called Hearing and Writing Music by Ron Gorrow, and you can find a link to that book on this book's website. Major intervals. All other intervals in a major scale are called major intervals. That leaves us with major seconds, thirds, sixths, and sevenths. The letter used for a major interval is a capital M. Identify all of the major and perfect intervals in the key of C major below in example 6. You're going to use them to find other intervals like minor, diminished, and augmented. It takes two notes to have an interval, so in the following example, example 6 on the website, I've put a C below each note to give us the harmonic interval up the major scale. Any of these intervals spread out one after the other would be a melodic interval. And in example 5, you can see the short table that gives you the abbreviation and the meaning of the major intervals. Going up the scale, they would be perfect unison or perfect prime, then a major second, a major third, a perfect fourth, a perfect fifth, a major sixth, a major seventh, and a perfect octave. Altering perfect intervals. A perfect interval can be raised or lowered, and this changes the quality of the interval, but not its number. A perfect interval lowered a half step becomes a diminished interval. A perfect interval raised a half step becomes an augmented interval. Example 7 in the book is a little diagram to show you how this works to help you remember. The AUG, which is the abbreviation for augmented, is above the P because an augmented interval is higher than a perfect interval. The DIM, which is the abbreviation for diminished, is below the P because a diminished interval is lower than a perfect interval. Here are all of the altered perfect intervals from the key of C major. Play and sing them to start getting them into your head. It's better to hear them and know them than to look at them and know them. But both, of course, is best. And in example 8, you can see diminished unison, an augmented unison, a diminished fourth, an augmented fourth, a diminished fifth, an augmented fifth, a diminished eight, and an augmented eight. Altering major intervals. Major intervals can also be altered by raising or lowering them. A major interval lowered a half step becomes a minor interval. A major interval raised a half step becomes an augmented interval. And here is another diagram. This is example 9 on the book's website. Just like before, the AUG, or augmented, is above because it's higher than the major. MIN, or minor, is below because it's lower than the major. And here are examples of the altered major intervals from C, and this is example 10 on the website. This time I've done it in bass clef, and you'll see a minor second, an augmented second, a minor third, an augmented third, a minor sixth, an augmented sixth, a minor seventh, and an augmented seventh. Finding an interval. In a few easy steps, you can find an interval. It's easiest with the key of C, so we're going to stick with that for examples, but you should be able to find an interval from any note to any other note. Step number 1. Count the lines and spaces from the lower note to the higher note. Be sure to count the lowest note as 1. In example number 11 on this book's website, you can see the first note in treble clef is a C, and the second note is a B-flat above the staff. So the C is 1, the B-flat is 7. Step number 2. Determine if the number of the interval is a major or a perfect number. So again, remember that the major numbers are 2, 3, 6, and 7. The perfect numbers are unison, 4, 5, and 8. Example 11, we've come up with a 7th, so that's going to be some form of a major or minor or augmented interval. Number 3. Determine if the interval is lowered or raised from what it would be in the major scale. Use the major scale that starts on the lower of the two notes. So our lower note is C. Our upper note is B flat. The C major scale, the 7th note, is usually B natural. So this is going to be a lowered 7th. That means it's going to be a minor 7th. Let's walk through that again. For example, we take a C and a B flat, with C being the lower of the two notes. For the first step, we count the lines and the spaces, starting with the lower note, to get the number of the interval, 7. For step 2, we need to know if a 7th is a perfect or a major interval. It's a major interval if unaltered, but this one is altered, so for step 3, we determine that the 7th has been lowered a half step, which would make it a minor 7th. You might begin to see why working in the key of C, no sharps and flats, is much simpler than other keys. For example, what would a minor 7th be if you started on an F sharp? One of the greatest songwriters in U.S. history was Russian-born Irving Berlin, who wrote all his songs in the key of C using just the white notes on the piano, with a few black ones for flavor when necessary. And, by the way, a minor 7th of an F sharp is E. Intervals greater than an octave. So far, we've only used intervals up to the number 8, an octave. Intervals greater than an octave are called compound intervals. The process of naming them is the same. Simply count up from the lower of the two notes. There will be more information and study of a compound interval in chapter 29. The example to the right shows the interval of a major 9th, and that's example 12 on the website. Finding intervals in keys other than C. The best way to find intervals in other keys is to have all the major scales memorized. There are only 12 of them, so it shouldn't take too long. Because I'm originally a trumpet player, I still tend to figure out intervals by running up the major scales with trumpet fingerings. It's sort of like counting on your fingers. Very handy. Another way is to memorize how many whole and half steps are in each interval. This takes a lot of brain space, but it is possible. On the next page is a table with the number of whole and or half steps for each interval. And this table is example 13 on the book's website. A brief note on ear training. Knowing these intervals intellectually is valuable, but knowing them by hearing them is priceless. If you've ever struggled with learning a song by ear, you'll appreciate knowing intervals by the way they sound. The trick is to sing and play and really hear each interval until you can sing and or play any interval from any note. There are many ways to do this. One way is to pick up an interval a week and sing or play that interval from every note that you can sing or play until you've memorized the difference in pitch. Do this everywhere you won't be looked at strangely, or if you don't mind looking strange, do it everywhere. In the car, in the shower, hum them under your breath at a boring lecture or meeting. Use your imagination. Knowing these intervals by ear is a valuable skill for any musician of any level. If you can hear an interval correctly, writing it out is a cinch. You can use a song to do this too. Some people like Over the Rainbow from The Wizard of Oz. A funny and useful one describes the intervals that are in the music, set to Mel Torme's The Christmas Song. You know the one. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. That one. You can find a link to that song, and someone who sings it a little better than me, on this book's website. Moving on. It's going to take some time living with these intervals before they really stick. Keep at it until you've got them. Knowing your intervals will be necessary when we get to building chords, which is coming up in a few chapters. Coming up in the next chapter, we'll go over minor scales. But first, the chapter review. Chapter 24, Study Guide. Number 1. What is the definition of an interval? An interval is the distance between two pitches. Number 2. What is a harmonic interval? Harmonic intervals are the distance between two pitches that are sounded at the same time. Number 3. What is a melodic interval? A melodic interval is the distance between two pitches sounded one after the other. Number 4. How do you find the number of an interval? You count each line in space up from the lower of the two notes, with the lowest note being 1. Number 5. What will always be the number of the lower note? It's always 1. Number 6. What are the qualities of intervals? Those are perfect, major, minor, diminished, and augmented. Number 7. What does a perfect interval become when lowered a half step? It becomes a diminished interval, abbreviated DIM. Number 8. What does a perfect interval become when raised a half step? It becomes an augmented interval, abbreviated AUG. Number 9. What does a major interval become when raised a half step? That also becomes an augmented interval, AUG. Number 10. What does a major interval become when lowered a half step? It becomes a minor interval. For number 11, you'll have to look at the printable quiz on this book's website. It is an interval from C to A flat. So what is the interval of C to A flat? That is a minor sixth. For number 12, same thing. It's another example. It's best if you look at it. But it is C to F sharp in treble clef. What is that interval? C to F sharp is an augmented fourth. Practical use exercises. Number 1. Draw a whole note C on the treble clef. Any octave is fine. Draw another note a fifth above the C. What is the name of the note a fifth above the C? Sing or play the interval of the fifth until you can do it from any pitch. This may take some time, so just keep at it. Number 2. On the first 3 lines and 2 spaces of the treble clef staff, draw whole notes on E, F, G, and A. Next, you'll make a harmonic interval, one note directly over another, above each note you've already written. Write in the note an octave above the E, F, G, and A. What are the names of these notes an octave above? Now, in between the note and the octave, write in a fifth. Play and sing these intervals, both harmonically and melodically. Number 3. On a piece of music you've been working on, identify at least 2 intervals. Sing and play the interval out of the context of the piece. When you play the piece from now on, try to be aware of the sound of the intervals you've chosen. When you can identify them by their sound, pick a couple more and repeat the process.